The Detroit Pistons are 0-2 entering tonight's game against the Atlanta Hawks. We'll talk about some of the things we saw over the weekend against the Chicago Bulls and what to preview going into tonight's game against the Atlanta Hawks on today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Pistons podcast. I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all of your podcast platforms, as well as on YouTube if you're watching this already on there. If you haven't already, make sure you hit that subscribe button over on the YouTube channel. But if this is your first time listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. You can also find me on YouTube at Locked On Pistons, or at my own YouTube, at Kuz Ballroom. You can also find some of my articles over at Detroit Bad Boys. But on today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast, we're going to be talking about some of the struggles that the Pistons are enduring over the first two games of the regular season. And then at the end of the podcast, we'll preview a little bit of the Atlanta Hawks game that they're going to be playing tonight, the second game of their four-game road trip. And we hope to see Cade Cunningham return after the road trip on the 30th in the Pistons' second home game, which I don't think is a coincidence. We'll hit on that a little bit at the end as well. But let's talk about what we've seen thus far from the Pistons in the regular season. So both their first games, first two games, were against the Chicago Bulls. I think they played hard in both games. Their defense looks to be okay. I don't want to give their defense too much credit, because I'm not sure if it's really real or not, but it seems to be okay at least. Their offense is just piss poor. Their offense is awful. And you can attribute this to a lot of things, which we'll talk about for the first two segments of the podcast. But so I tweeted this out like 2 days ago, and I said that I really don't have any positives to take away from the Pistons' first two games, like literally none. The only one you can take away from, and I guess I shouldn't say none because this is a pretty big deal. I don't want to like poo-poo it. It's just that there's so many negatives that it kind of overshadows this one positive. But one of the only positives is Sadiq Bey's play. He's already shown massive improvements in playmaking with the ball in his hands, the pick and roll. I can so far say that I was wrong. I'm happy to be wrong. He's proven me wrong. I'm happy for that to be the case. But yeah, through two games, he's shown massive improvements in his vision, massive improvements in decision-making, massive improvements with just his overall feel inside the arc. And he's making some really nice passes, some simple passes, not even like these high-level passes, but these simple passes that we talked about throughout the offseason. That I talked about in one of my YouTube videos that I made earlier in the offseason that he needed to make, he's making those all the time now. So that is by far the biggest positive. And I think if he can continue that moving forward, it's going to be interesting to see how high he can get. It really is. I thought that was going to be something that he seriously very much struggled to get in his career. That's something that not a lot of guys are capable of improving on. That's kind of like something that you're just like, I don't want to say born with, but it kind of just, something that you just have. And he's doing a good job of developing the feel with the ball in his hands and making and processing defenses better. So, Sadiq Bey overall, his outside shooting is taking a hit. That is going to be something that we're going to want to keep track of. Is this, giving him the ball more, giving him more usage, all those kind of things, that hurting his outside shooting? Because while he's in developing those other areas, he's not nearly good enough in those areas for that to be what his main thing is. His main thing still needs to be getting up at least 7 threes a game. His main thing still needs to be a catch and shoot guy or a 3-point shooter. That's what he needs to be. And the Pistons desperately need that. Not only does he need that, the Pistons desperately need him to be that guy still. While they need him to, I don't know if I should say need, but while they still would want those extra things that he's giving, they 100% need his outside shooting more. And he's struggling with that right now. So it's going to be interesting to see if that's something that is taking a hit because of the added responsibilities. He's losing legs or something along those lines. Or if it's simply an early shooting slump, no big deal, his first two games. I'm going to assume it's the latter, that it's just, it's the first two games is what it is. He'll get his shot going at some point. But it is something that we want to make sure we're watching for, because the Pistons, like I said, desperately still need that 3-point shooting, 7 attempts a game kind of guy, 40% shooter, and Sadiq Bey. He needs that too in order for the rest of his game to still be respected that he's trying to develop. That's the one positive that the Pistons, I guess, you can pull from the first two games. Like, literally, I think that might be the only positive. But before we get into any, like, the individual negatives, let me talk about just, like, a team-wide negative that we've seen throughout the first two games against the Chicago Bulls. The Pistons offense is just terrible. I don't know if it's just, you know, players aren't playing well, obviously. Killian Hayes in particular, we'll talk about him later in the podcast. But overall, I think everyone outside of Sadiq Bey is not playing well, to be honest. And that in and of itself is going to hurt the offense. But I don't think the offense is doing much to help the guys either. So, like, let me pull this stat up real quick. And obviously, no one stat is going to tell the full story of anything. But I think this stat really does give some insight, or like a quick, like, if you really just wanted to look at one stat, just give a broad opinion about what's wrong with the Pistons offense. Like, this is it right here. So, like, in the last game against the Bulls, when they lost 97 to 82, 82 points in a regular season NBA game in the year of 2021. My God. Anyways, they had 14 assists as a team. They had 20 turnovers as a team. They had 6 more turnovers than they did assist. That speaks directly not only to players simply struggling, but I'm attributing that strictly to, like, the offense as well, like the offensive system. It's not good right now. It's not working. It's a lot of – so the Pistons jumped out to a 9-0 lead in their second game against the Chicago Bulls, and their offense was looking good. They were turning defense into offense, and they were moving the ball a little bit. After that, the moving of the ball was non-existent. The moving of the ball was pretty non-existent in the first game, and a lot of their possessions – and listen, I'm not critiquing Dwayne Casey too much because his players are struggling – as well. His players are struggling individually. He's not being dealt a great hand himself either. But I have to be honest with you guys. If I'm not going to be honest about this, I just wouldn't be doing my job. Dwayne Casey's offenses, if you track them all the way back to Toronto, if you listen to Toronto guys, if you listen to Toronto fans, guys who covered the team, guys who covered Dwayne Casey every day, this is not a new thing with his offense that it boils down to a lot ISO heavy offense. If you remember, the year that he won Coach of the Year with the Toronto Raptors, that year they were moving the ball great throughout the regular season. That's why people thought that they were going to be different that year. Then once you got to the playoffs, they reverted right back to this ISO ball, and that's what sunk them against the Cavs eventually. I mean, also the fact that they had LeBron James on the other side. But also they reverted right back to the ISO ball because throughout Dwayne Casey's career as a head coach, that's what it's usually come down to a lot. Now, he's a great developer. He's done a great job developing guys. I'm not speaking ill on Dwayne Casey. He does the things that he's well at and he's good at. He's really good at them. He knows how to handle a locker room. He knows how to get guys to play hard for him. He knows how to get guys to buy in. He knows how to develop guys, all those things. But one of the negatives with him, and it's been his negative, I feel like throughout his coaching career, is his in-game adjustments and his offensive system. And you have seen that throughout the first two games of the Pistons, there's a lot of guys just flat out, it's like taking turns playing ISO ball. It's like you're watching him a pickup at a high school gym. It's been really bad. And the Pistons don't have any guys on their team that are capable of doing it. Like in Toronto, you have DeMar DeRozan, you have Kyle Lowry, you have these guys. So if you want to do that with those type of guys, then maybe you're going to get away with it a little bit. But especially with a team like the Pistons who just don't have – or even – not even. Let's not even go to the Raptors day. Let's go back to a few years ago in his Pistons days. When you have Blake Griffin, you'll get away with it. When you have Reggie Jackson, you'll get away with it. When you have Derrick Rose, you'll get away with it. Heck, even when you have Luke Kennard to a certain degree, you'll get away with it. Like when you have guys like that, you'll get away with it every now and then. It won't hurt you as bad. But with a team like this, who really has no offensive, like ISO heavy scorer on their system and on their roster, I should say, and no one who's like an offensive powerhouse like that, it's not going to work. It's going to crumble in front of your face. And it's done that throughout the first two games. The Pistons, like, again, they had 82 games in the NBA season of year 2021. It's like, that's absurd. That should never happen. So I think the major negative, before we even get into individual negatives with players, is just the offense itself. There's not a lot of pick and rolls being done. There was a lot of sets being ran to get Isaiah Stewart post-ups, which I get trying to get Isaiah Stewart some touches if you want to try to develop that, but there was way too much of that and he's just not ready for that either. They also ran a lot of sets to get Jeremy Grant and ISO, which just isn't – it's not good offense. It's been a real struggle for the Pistons right now on offense, and they have to change up their system. They have to do something different because they just don't have those kind of guys that can handle playing ISO ball so much. It's just not going to work. They need to do something else, and I hope they do. But when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the individual negatives, some of the individual shortcomings that we've had thus far with the Pistons season and what we need to see improved on going into the next game against the Atlanta Hawks. But before we get into that, let me tell you guys about some of our sponsors. First up, let me tell you about DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live. Another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for all the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and all of the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more about it at DirecTV.com. Yes, that's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. Then let me tell you about another one of our sponsors, Prize Picks. All right, NBA fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is the daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you will too. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as bench players, only recording a handful of minutes each game. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All of your users that deposit and use your promo code will receive 100% instant deposit match up to 100%. Up to $100, I should say. That means if you use promo code LOCKEDNBA, you get deposit match up to $100. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over and under on their projections, you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries as well. You can take the over on LeBron combined with the under on Mahomes in the same entry. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really just that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals as well, so don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com and use promo code NBA. Go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. So let's go ahead and talk about some of the individual shortcomings that the Pistons are dealing with right now with their own players. So I think the very obvious one, which will knock this out the way right now, is Killian Hayes. Killian Hayes is obviously really struggling right now. He's only made one basket on the season. He's actually averaging 1 point a game. He hasn't attempted any free throws. He hasn't got to the free throw line. He hasn't really gotten a ton of assists either. He's not playmaking very much. He's just overall struggling a lot right now so far to start the season. Now, again, I'll maintain what I'm saying. It's only been 2 games. It's going to take a while with Killian Hayes if he does figure it out. I'm not saying he is guaranteed to figure it out, which I think a lot of fans are confusing with people who are saying give Killian Hayes time. No one's saying that he's for sure going to figure it out. What people are saying is that nobody in the history of NBA, you'll be able to tell through 27 games. It's not going to happen. So you have to give him more time. This is basically his rookie season right now. And what we saw last year is that after game after game after game, when he returned from his hip injury, he got better and better and better as the games went along. So I don't see why that wouldn't be the case now. But nonetheless, he's really playing bad right now. He's looking really tough out there. It's rough to watch. But there are some things I feel like the Pistons could do to try to help him a little bit. This is something that was a topic on Pistons Twitter. For those of you guys who don't have Twitter, I'll inform you on it. A lot of people are asking, you know, why is Killian going to the corner? Killian, get involved in the offense. Why are you just standing in the corner? What are you doing? We have 4 years of evidence thus far with Dwayne Casey that every non-shooter in his offense, he sends them to the corner. Now, again, this is not me critiquing Dwayne Casey. It's not me saying whether that's the right decision or wrong decision. That's me simply stating a fact. That's how he runs his offenses. The non-shooter in his offensive always gets sent to the corner. And they stand there as they're running the first half of their set. They go and spot up in the corner. You saw it with Stanley Johnson earlier in his tenure here. You saw it with Bruce Brown. You saw it with Sekou. You saw it with Tyler Cook. And you're seeing it a little bit now with Killian Hayes. Now, I don't think that's the best way to go about it, but that's simply just the fact of the case. That's just how he runs his offense. So, I'm really getting tired of guys getting mad at the players or critiquing the players for just standing around when it's very clear that that's not something they're choosing to do. There was literally a video that I was sent by one of you guys yesterday. It's like a 10 or 15 second clip of Sekou from last season when they asked him about him standing in the corner. And he said straight up, you know, it's not really my game to go set a screen at the beginning of the set and then go stand in the corner and not do anything. But if that's what coach wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. So it's very clear that we've had 4 years of evidence from players that's just – the players are not choosing to go – like, I can promise you Killian Hayes is not choosing to not run pick and rolls. He is not choosing to go stand in the corner and just spot up. That's not what he's choosing to do. That is just part of the offense. Now, whether that's right or wrong, that's not for – you know, that's up to Dwayne Casey. But that's just – he's not the point is that Killian Hayes is not choosing to do that. I just want to get that across the like for you guys to understand. Like, stop saying Killian is just not choosing to do anything. No, this is part of the offense. He's doing what's being asked of him. If you don't like that, then I don't know what to tell you. But outside of that, I think the Pistons should run more high pick and rolls with Killian. They're not really running any with him right now, which is kind of confusing because that's like what he's best at. It's really shocking, to be honest, that they're not doing that. So we'll see what happens. But Killian is just playing really bad right now. I think running more pick and rolls with him will help him. But overall, he just needs to play better. I think the Pistons need to incorporate him more into the offense. If you're going to have him out there, he's a ball handler right now. You need to have him involved in the offense, at least setting sets up and setting guys up, which is what you should have drafted him. That's why you drafted him. That's what he's great at. And you're not even utilizing what he's good at. So he's basically on the court for nothing right now. He's really struggling to find anything else to do. You can tell he's really struggling with what else to do when he doesn't have the ball in his hands right now. And the team as a whole, I don't think it's just a Killian issue either. Killian needs to be better at it, but the team as a whole doesn't look like they really know what to do when they don't have the ball in their hands. It's just ISO ball. And like I said earlier in the segment, it's bad right now across the board. But Killian, again, there's no excuse for how he's playing. He's playing awful right now. He's looked really bad. You hope he continues to improve. I said on Twitter that I would give him 20 games to show any kind of sort of improvement, not score 15 points a game or something or shoot 40% from three, just simply look better. If he's not looking any better over 20 games, then okay, then I think you need to have a conversation. You might have to talk about possibly sitting him on the bench, trying to use him in a different way, tempering his minutes back a little bit, doing something to try to help him out. Because after 20 games, I think that's a large enough sample size now of him trying to get experience and trying to get his feet wet, and then also trying to get what's the best word? I can't pronounce that right now. Gelled together with his starting teammates. And if through 20 games isn't getting better at all, then you need to reassess what you're doing and if this is really best for you or Killian Hayes. But Killian Hayes is playing really bad right now. Next on the list of playing really bad, which literally you could just put every Piston on the list, like I said, but we're going to talk about three main guys. First one is Frank Jackson. Frank Jackson, I think we're done with the experiment in his starting lineup. I think we need to be done with that already. Before seeing it, everybody thought, you know, including myself, having his needed spacing will help. We were wrong. Flat out wrong. That's not what his game is. I should have known that. I'll take the miss on that. I should have known that. But it was a miss. He's not just a spot-up shooter. That's not what Frank Jackson is. If you saw last season, and again, I should have known this. I shouldn't have told you guys wrong information. I missed this one. I was wrong about this one. But Frank Jackson last year, if you watched him, he searched for his shot. He was showing that he wanted to create his own shot. And when he gets the ball, he wants to go score. He's not just a spot-up shooter. He literally is just a scorer. So in the starting lineup, he's a guy basically being used as a fourth option who's trying to be a first option, like he's off the bench still as a scorer. So anytime he touches the ball, it's literally ISO or I'm going straight to score the ball. It's no ball movement. It's no passing. It's no him not even looking to pass. It's not him looking to spot up shoot. It's him looking to literally search for his own shot, hunt his own shot, and it disrupts the entire offense. Not to mention he's doing a really crappy job of that right now in of itself. It just doesn't fit well. If he's coming off the bench, that's fine to have that off the bench because you need that kind of spark plug off the bench, especially with the guys the Pistons have coming off the bench who lack being able to shoot from the perimeter and really create their own shot. So that's why he fits so well coming off the bench. In the starting lineup, when you already have Sadiq Bey, Jeremy Grant, and Killian Hayes all touching the ball trying to do stuff, it just doesn't mesh. It doesn't mesh, especially when you also have him guarding Zach LaVine on the other end. It's not working. So I think we've seen enough of Frank Jackson in the starting lineup. I almost would rather have Josh Jackson and Hamidou Diallo in the starting lineup until K comes back. I doubt they change it. They probably will keep rocking out Frank Jackson, but I don't think that's a good fit with the starting lineup at all after this. After the first two games, I think you see that Frank Jackson's style just doesn't match with what the Pistons need in the starting lineup, and I should have known that. I should have seen that from what I watched. I don't know why I didn't see that coming. I don't know why I thought he would just like fall back into just a spot-up shooter role. I should have known better. But yeah, that whole experiment is dead, I think. It should be dead. He just doesn't fit with that. And then, you know what? Let's go ahead and go to the ad break real quick before we get into the third person that I want to talk about. Because the third person that we're going to talk about is honestly, it's really disappointing for me to see because coming out of preseason, it was really, I was really hopeful for him to turn the corner. And I think me telling you guys that will give you guys like an idea of who I'm talking about. But yeah, when we come back from the ad break, we'll dive further into who I'm talking about and why it's been a little bit disappointing from what we've seen. But like I said, let's go ahead and talk about some of our sponsors. First up, let me tell you about your guys' favorite sponsor, Built Bar. The best tasting protein bar on planet Earth comes with a variety of flavors, including 6 new flavors and caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. They even got a ton of other flavors, such as coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. These bars are low in calorie and sugar, but high in protein fiber. All flavors are covered in incredible tasting chocolate and are soft and easy on the teeth to chew. A flavor I suggest is the peanut butter flavor, packed with 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams net carbs. So go try the Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, go to BuiltBar.com and use LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. Let me tell you about another one of our sponsors, Rock Auto. You ever need a part for your car? Head to the store. Go through a ton of confusing questions. Just for one of the workers to tell you that they don't have the part that you're looking for. I know I have. That's why you should avoid all these problems. Rock with another one of our sponsors, RockAuto.com. Find whatever part you're looking for on your computer or in your hand on your phone by using RockAuto.com. Don't worry about having to create an account or making a membership. Just head over to RockAuto.com and start shopping. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest and most reliable prices. Head over to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So the next player that I want to talk about before we preview tonight's game against Atlanta Hawks is Josh Jackson. Josh Jackson entering the preseason, we were told by Dwayne Casey he had done an incredible job improving his decision-making and feel for the game. And then we saw it in preseason, and he was 100% right. Josh Jackson looked like he took a major step forward. He was making great, great decisions with the ball in his hands. He looked like he was playing with a sense of calmness to his game that was really helping him play much more efficiently and just playing all around much better than you thought that he could play. So far in the regular season, that's all reverted back to where Josh Jackson's been throughout his entire career. I think it's disappointing. In this last game against the Chicago Bulls, he had 3 turnovers in 16 minutes, and they were all pretty bad turnovers too. It wasn't like they were – each turnover Josh had was like a facepalm moment, and you're like, oh, come on, Josh. And then the game before, the first game against the Bulls, he also had 3 turnovers. So he's averaging 3 turnovers a game in his limited minutes. That's just not going to cut it. And it's disappointing to see because you really thought that he was going to take that step forward. To be honest, I thought he was from what we've heard throughout training camp, and then he backed it up in the preseason. I don't know what's going on. Maybe he can turn it around a little bit, but so far through 2 games, it sucks seeing this. He's shooting 41% from the field, 16% from deep. The Pistons overall have just played awful. They're all just playing so bad right now. It's crazy. But yeah, those are the 3 players I'm most disappointed in right now, most disappointed about, because all 3 of those guys I thought higher of entering the season, and they've completely backtracked. Now, I think you could probably say that about Jeremy Grant too. You could say that, but basically I think almost every player besides Sadiq Bey, but those are 3 guys I want to single out. I hope they all have all 3 of those guys have better games tonight against the Atlanta Hawks. But what do we want to see different in this game tonight against the Atlanta Hawks? So first thing I want to see different tonight against the Atlanta Hawks, I want to see them move the ball a little bit more. Let's not see some iso ball. Let's not see iso ball the entire time because, through first 2 games, it just hasn't worked. I'd like to see, honestly, this is something that, you know, we were teased about entering into the regular season, and we haven't seen this even once in the regular season thus far. I'm not saying it's going to work, but, you know, we were told that we were going to see it, and we haven't seen it even a little bit. We were told we were going to get Killian Hayes posting up smaller guards, and with a matchup against the Atlanta Hawks, he has a perfect opportunity to do that with Trae Young guarding him. I don't think they're going to do it, but I think it would be interesting. Dwayne Casey told us that we were going to see some of it. We haven't seen it yet. So I think against the Atlanta Hawks would be a perfect opportunity to do it against a small Trae Young, who Killian Hayes should easily be able to overpower in the post if he really does try to, if the Pistons try to do it. So that would be something interesting for me. I think it would be a good idea to try it out this game to see if it would work. Next thing, I'd like to see them change the starting lineup. I'd like to see them try to put either Josh or Hamidou Diallo in the starting lineup because of the things I said in the previous segment. Frank Jackson just isn't working in the starting lineup. You'd almost rather have just the athleticism and the defense that one of those 2 guys bring over Josh or Frank Jackson searching for a shot every time he touches the ball and stopping the flow of the offense, even though there's not really a flow to the offense anyways. But stopping the flow to the offense and not looking to pass at all, simply looking to score and not even doing that well, it's just not fitting with the starting lineup right now. So I'd like to see them change the starting lineup. And I think another thing, too, is that you'll really get a test to see if the Pistons defense really is that good or not. Because trust me, Atlanta's going to put up points. You got Trae Young with a crew over there that made the Eastern Conference Finals. That offense is going to be firepower against the Pistons. So, you know, we'll see. Tonight is going to be a perfect test to see, is this Pistons defense legit? Is it an actual, you know, is it actually one of their strengths? Or were they just, you know, going against the Chicago Bulls team that, you know, wasn't really taking them seriously because they were up by 30 the majority of the game? We'll see which one it is. I hope that their defense is pretty good because their offense is pretty damn bad, and I don't see how they're going to win a basketball game scoring. So they're going to have to do it by stopping guys from scoring. That's how bad their offense looks right now, legit. I'm not joking at all. That's how bad the offense looks for the Pistons. But, yeah, this will be a good test tonight for the Pistons defense. Also, I like to see how Dwayne Casey adjusts with the Pistons offense and try to make things easier for them. Hopefully we see a little bit more pick and rolls for Killian Hayes. Maybe some sets that involve, you know, ball movement and not setting up an ISO for Jeremy Grant to take a long two, which I hope he just needs to eliminate that from his game. By the way, we've seen too much of that already. It's just not good for him. Also, I think the Pistons are asking too much of Jeremy Grant, by the way, especially because they're, like I said many times, they're reverting the ISO ball and they basically give him the ball and say, here you go, try to get us a bucket. And he's just not that type of player. It's just unrealistic to expect him to do that. So hopefully they change their offense up, try to add some wrinkles to it and play a little bit better on that end. I hope to see a lot more pick and rolls with Killian Hayes. And yeah, I mean, hopefully they get a win, I guess. Hopefully they get a win. They probably won't. Hopefully they play hard and, you know, we'll see what happens. But that's all I've got for you guys today. Thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every day. We are free and available on all your platforms, your podcast platforms, including YouTube. I hope you guys are checking me out over there, checking out the channel. It's been a lot of fun recording these with a visual. We're doing great numbers-wise over there. I think a lot of people have been enjoying it. So if you haven't already, make sure you go check us out on YouTube. I know majority, almost, you know, probably 90% of our listeners are coming from the podcast, but we're doing pretty good numbers on YouTube. So if you haven't checked it out, go check it out. I think it's pretty fun. But yeah, have fun watching the game tonight. If you haven't already, I've told you guys many times throughout the season. If you are interested in fantasy basketball at all, make sure you guys make your second listen of today, Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd. He's doing a great job of keeping you up to date on all the fantasy basketball, all the guys you can pick up off the waiver wire, all the guys you could possibly start in place of other, all kinds of stuff. I know I've been listening. I have a fantasy team right now going on. He's been helping me out. His tips are I'm currently up by 400 points. I don't know, by the way, if that's like good in fantasy basketball purposes, because all I've played is fantasy football. But right now, I believe we're like on, what, the third day of the week matchup, I think, in our league. And I'm up by 400 points. I don't know if that's good or not. Obviously, it's good to be up, but I don't know if that means a lot in fantasy basketball purposes. Kind of know guys can, like, explode for 100. But anyways, yeah, make your second listen of today, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Josh Lloyd's doing a great job over there. But, yeah, that's all I've got for you guys today. Enjoy the game tonight against the Atlanta Hawks. Hopefully, Killian Hayes plays a little bit better. We need a little bit more than 2 points out of you, Killian. I mean, I can't lie. You got to start playing a little bit better, man. But, yeah, hopefully you guys enjoy the game tonight, and I'll see you guys on tomorrow's episode. Peace out, everybody, and go Pistons.